That's a good reminder. All right. We're going to go into the message today, the scripture in the message. Today, the scripture comes from the book of Isaiah. Have you heard of the book of Isaiah? Raise your hand if you've even heard of it. The name Isaiah. It's a pretty popular name these days to name children, Isaiah. It's an Old Testament book, all right? It's in the book that was written before Jesus came. And it's one of the several books of prophets. Jeremiah was a prophet, Amos was a prophet, Zechariah was a prophet, Isaiah is a prophet. So it's a book of prophecy. It's a really big book in the Bible. It probably extends over hundreds of years, as only God can extend a prophet's voice in the old days. It covers a lot of historical ground. But it's the voice of a prophet. Many prophets appear in the Old Testament. There was a time in human history when God used prophets to speak truth to people. God used individuals that he selected. It was not an easy job. It was the kind of job that sometimes I feel like I have to do, which is to say, that's not really what the Bible says. Here's what it really means, and this is what's going to happen if you don't understand it. Only the prophets did that every day to their own people, the people of God, the Israelites. And they kept telling them the words that God put on their heart to share with them. That if you don't conform, if you don't devote yourself to God, if you don't worship correctly, if you don't help the needy, on and on the list went. You will face consequences in this world. And then after they faced the consequences, that would be Isaiah going up and saying, see, I told you so. And that happens over and over. A lot of prophets had very rough lives because of that. Because they spoke truth to the people. They surrendered their own opinions and beliefs and became an empty vessel for God's word. The words the prophets speak are not their words. They're God's words, which makes them truth. You follow that? Prophets' words are God's truth. Oftentimes when we hear about a prophet or a prophecy, we treat it as a prediction. Someone's going to be predicting something that's going to happen 100 years from now or next Wednesday at 8 o'clock. Those are predictions. That's not biblical prophecy. Biblical prophecy is truth. Truth delivered to God's people. And it's not about any one moment in time to any one group of people, as all things are in the Bible. It's an eternal message of truth that applies everywhere to everybody. It's eternal and universal. Right? So the words of Isaiah are just as true today as they were when he first spoke them, as they were when they first appeared in the Bible, as they are in any other age, in any other time. Prophets' words are truth. There's no maybes. There's no might-bes. They're truth. But to understand the truth of their words is a whole nother ballgame. We are called, as people of God, to understand the truth of the Bible. Not to take it literally for what it says, but to absorb the real eternal and universal truth of the message. So today in the scripture from Isaiah, he speaks of two things. He speaks of the Messiah that's going to be coming from the root of Jesse. The root of Jesse, King David's father. So he's telling us that the Messiah that will be coming will be from the lineage of David. And then he'll tell us some things about that Messiah. They're true. They're not a maybe. If then, it's truth. And then he's going to tell us even more about a peaceful kingdom. A peaceful kingdom that will come to the earth with this Messiah. It's not a maybe. It's not a hope so. It's not a prediction. It's the truth. And I'm going to try to help you see that truth after we hear the scripture. Here it is. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. And this is from a real interesting translation, by the way. That it's called the New International Reader's Version. New International Reader's Version. So you might want to look that up and try it on for size. Jesse's family is like a tree that has been cut down. A new little tree will grow from its stump. From its roots, a branch will grow and produce fruit. So when you're reading the Bible, I want to stop right here. When you're reading the Bible and you hear something like that, you can't think literally. Isaiah, the prophet of God, has not come to tell God's people how a branch grows. Right? He's come to tell them an eternal and universal truth that is so important, it comes from God through the prophet. Isaiah is telling us that a Messiah will come from the family of Jesse. That tree will be cut down, but there'll be a remnant that will come. He'll say this, "The Spirit of the Lord will rest on that branch. The Spirit will help him to be wise and understanding. The Spirit will help him make wise plans and carry them out. The Spirit will help him know the Lord and have respect for him. And the branch will take delight in respecting the Lord. He will not judge things only by the way they look. He won't make decisions based simply on what people say. He will always do what is right when he judges those who are in need. He'll be completely fair when he makes decisions about poor people. When he commands that people be punished, it will happen. When he orders that evil people be put to death, it will take place. He will put on godliness as if it were his belt. He'll wear faithfulness around his waist." The first five verses tell us of the one to come, the one who has come, the one who is coming every day, and the one who will show up again on Christmas morning. But he's speaking thousands of years before this. He's telling the people, God will do this for you. And then he connects this next five verses with that. What will that mean? How will that change the world? Why would that even be important to me? Here's why. Wolves will live with lambs. And when you read that in the Bible, God's not using a prophet to share the truth to the people about how two animals are going to coexist in the same pen. Right? He's telling us a universal and eternal truth about how all creation will find a way to love each other and live in peace. Right? That's what he's saying. Leopards will lie down with goats. Calves and lions will eat together. And little children will lead them around. Cows will eat with bears. Their little ones will lie down together. And lions will eat straw like oxen. A baby will play near a hole where cobras live. A young child will put its hand into a nest where poisonous snakes live. See what this is teaching us? The absence of fear. The absence of fear of the other. Can you imagine a world where this Messiah that's coming can lead us to a place where our fear is vanquished by our faith? Where we don't approach people we don't know, don't understand, and be scared of them. But that's not our default go-to when this kingdom of peace comes. None of those animals will harm or destroy anything or anyone on my holy mountain of Zion. The oceans are full of water. In the same way, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. At that time, here is what the man who is called the root of Jesse will do. He will be like a banner that brings nations together. They will come to him, and the place where he rules will be glorious. That's not a prediction. That's truth of God that's happening today. Do you believe that? Do you believe that that Messiah can bring a peace to your heart that vanquishes fear and teaches you how to love all creatures, great and small, no matter how different they are from you? Do you believe Isaiah was telling the truth when he talked about a peaceable kingdom where all the creatures of the world that God created can coexist with each other and not be scared at all? Do you believe in that world? Do you believe we can overcome our fear and our prejudices and our biases about people we don't even know? about things we don't even have knowledge about, and therefore find a path to peace. I mean real peace, not made-up peace where we're going to pretend like we get along for a while, but I mean peace that leads us to love. Eternal peace. And you look around the world and you say, anybody seen that lately? And I say, I have. I say, I have. I have the eyes to see that, the ears to hear that. I have the heart to be a part of that kingdom. And I see it every day, especially days I don't turn on the TV, because it's involved in how people relate to each other all over the world. People who have found themselves in this stream of faith where they believe it all. They believe every word Isaiah spoke, Jeremiah, Amos, Zechariah, every teaching of Jesus Christ, and they fully have immersed their lives in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the Bible story. Right? Those people are fully living a different existence than you and I. They got it. They got Isaiah's truth, and they live it every day. And yes, Bruce, it's those people, mostly nameless, faceless, hidden to us, that save this earth and keep this world spinning each and every day of each and every year. Without that stream of peace floating through this world, we probably wouldn't be here anymore. We now have the means, you know, we've created the means to completely terminate this globe that we live on. We have enough nuclear weapons now to blow it to pieces. It's that stream that keeps us going, that keeps everything from unraveling. So you think what you see is bad on your TV or YouTube or on your computer, on your phone. You think that's bad. Think what it'd be like without that stream. Notice how that stream always shows up in the most extreme cases of hate and violence. It's always there, putting things back together, mending hearts, broken hearts, pulling people back into a wholeness, lifting people up out of their grief and mourning, helping people get through the next day and the next day when disaster has struck. It's there every time. Every time. Patches this world back up again. It's Isaiah's kingdom. It's from Jesus Christ. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? Do you believe it all? Because, you know, friends, it's not really a choice that we can pick and choose what we want to believe and leave the rest aside because I can't believe it. It makes my religion real comfortable. Those are the 24 things I can't believe, but I'll take the rest. It's not the Golden Corral buffet. The whole book is truth. You have to learn how to read it as truth. Did you see how I read that scripture? Did you see how I read the truth in it and not the literalness in it? Did you see how God spoke to me in that scripture? God speaks to us in every scripture that way. He speaks the spiritual truth of the words on a page. Tells us what's eternal and universal. So how do I know that that kingdom exists? How do I know that? Because I've witnessed it. As I began my own spiritual journey a few decades ago, my 30s, can't really pinpoint when it started, but I really became serious. The first thing, you know, that it did for me was it got me off drugs, right? Something I could never have done, or anyone else, but the Holy Spirit can. Converted me, transformed me, saved me. Still really didn't believe all that biblical muckety-muck stuff like prophets and visions and signs. So one of the requirements of stop using drugs is I had to go to meetings, right? They were called Narcotics Anonymous meetings, N-A for short. And this scared me to death. Because I already had a vision in my mind of the kind of people who go to an NA meeting. And it's not me! But one Thursday night, Amy drove me to my first meeting, and it was raining, and it was in the basement of Hunter Presbyterian Church in Lexington, Kentucky. And we were a little bit early, and there were a bunch of people gathered outside the door of the basement door of the church waiting for the meeting to begin. And I looked at that group of people, and I cried. Because now that's who I was. And I mean all kinds of people. All kinds of clothes, all kinds of piercings, all kinds of tats, smoking, coffee. This was a rough group. These were addicts. I'm about to walk into a meeting in a basement of a church with a bunch of addicts. How can you have peace when you're about to do that? And I walked into that meeting. Amy said, "You got to go." So as they kind of filed in, I kind of silently walked in after them and took that first chair. And thus began a journey of learning how prejudiced and biased I am about people who don't look like me or act like me or aren't my age or don't talk like me, right? The only thing we shared in that room was a disease that was killing us, and we wanted to stop. And pretty soon I began to meet the people in there. Eric had the shaved head and the pierced eyebrows. He had more clean time than I did, and he started his own construction company. Right, Eric? All kinds of people. Mark, who would just sit up by the coffee machine. He ran a tattoo parlor, literally. Was covered. Had dark hair, dark glasses. Wore dark clothes and a dark black leather jacket and sat by the coffee. And everybody just waited for the three words he was going to say every night. Because they would be like the miracle words. He would nail it. You know what I mean? Would never have found myself with this group of people before. And after a matter of weeks and months, spending time with them, going out with coffee with them, going out in public with them, and falling in love with them. And we saved each other's lives. People who never would have been together before, totally unlike each other. And we found the power of the Holy Spirit. What that power can do to bring about love and tear down all the boundaries. Right? So as I got off that disease, I went into seminary. First year in seminary, they asked me if I wanted to go on a mission trip to Bosnia. You guys know a little bit about this. Right? So I went with some seminary students from all around the country, about 8 of us. A peace delegation to Bosnia, because Bosnia had been ravaged by a horrific civil war. Hate lived in Bosnia between Muslims and Christians and Jews and non-religious people, and they killed each other over it. One day we were invited to a picnic with a Muslim humanitarian group. No, that's not an oxymoron. A Muslim humanitarian group that helps people in need. All kinds of people. Right? You know a humanitarian group, like many of you are involved in. This caught our attention that it was a Muslim group, and they wanted us to go to a picnic. They just wanted to thank us, but we weren't real sure about that. In fact, we were skeptical and somewhat afraid. So we loaded in our car, and we followed their kind of trucks out into the hinterland, and then off the road, down some dirt roads, and then deeper and deeper into the valleys of Bosnia, as we're now from dirt road to gravel road to hardly any road. And someone in our van said, "You know, this isn't going to happen, but if they were taking us out to kill us, this is exactly what they'd do." Thanks for sharing. And we came to the site, and we all kind of were very cautious, and their families were waiting for us, and they got out. And we had a great picnic. And they cooked us fish on the fires, and they put their beer in the stream to keep it cold, and it was like a old gathering of the Sylvanic family before I came along, those ethnic people who just enjoy being with each other and can sit there all day. And religion never came up, just God. And we found peace on that day. So addicts, Muslims. How about criminals? Have you been to jail lately? I did a little time in jail. I don't mind saying it's part of my story. It had an impact, just a little. It's even embarrassing to say in front of other guys that are incarcerated because they just laugh at me. But I started doing jail ministry, going into jails and meeting with prisoners, and had an instant connection. We had a group in Grant County, Kentucky. It was a state-run program called the Substance Abuse Program. Great name, right? How creative. The SAP program. And they had 40 guys in it who were participating in the program so they could get credit and potentially get out earlier. So we had all kinds of guys. It was all men, young, you know, 18-year-olds and 65-year-olds and everything in between. This was a rough, rough group. They had all kinds of backgrounds. They had been in jail before. They knew this life of a criminal, right? This is what they had come to be in this world, a criminal. And you can talk to them about it, because at least I could. I had a rapport with them. One day we said, all right, we're just going to do a pop-up brainstorm today. Tell me all the words that the world uses outside this place to describe you. And there are words I can't say. Because they know how we describe them, right? The thoughts that go through our mind when we speak about men that have been imprisoned, right? And I told them that none of that matters to me. That they're precious children of God. And let's have a relationship. And that became one of the most heartwarming, rewarding experiences of my life, to spend time every week with those 40 guys. The group was called Real Men Talking because none of the jail personnel were allowed in with us. It was just me and the 40 guys, and I heard everything. I heard how defeated they were, how they had no opportunities, no chances, no dreams. And I tried to show them a way to be free even while they're in jail. Because the Bible can set you free. Truth can set you free. And we became a close-knit group. I've attended some weddings of those guys. I've attended some funerals of those guys. A mom would call me from a guy I could barely remember and said, anytime he got home, all he talked about was your group. Can you come to the funeral? You never know how you're going to meet people when you take down all the prejudices and biases and just accept people as precious children of God, just who they are. It's who they are anyway. We've learned so much about how to mistreat people. Jesus can teach us how to treat people, right? I found the kingdom of Isaiah in the Grant County jail, right? What is it with us this year? We've always got our lepers, you know, that we can blame and hate and ostracize and oppress and keep from finding peace in our hearts. It kind of feeds a self-will need to hate somebody just to make us feel better. We have to know who to hate. So is it your illegal aliens this year that you call those precious children of God, those heroes that are willing to leave their families behind through a treacherous journey to this country, be hired by American business owners, make enough money to maybe give their grandkids a chance to break out of the extreme poverty they live in their native country. We had a whole lot of those illegal aliens in North Middletown at the first church I was at. The town relied on them. They worked the farms. They bought houses and all lived together. They sent their kids to schools. They used our doctors, and the farmers relied on them. The farmers even learned Spanish so that they could visit with their family on birthdays and holidays. They created a peaceable kingdom with those people. Is that who your lepers are today? That's their society wants it that way, you know. I tell you, I've met so many illegal immigrants, prisoners, drug addicts, Muslims, right? Gays and lesbians. I don't know what your list has on it, but Those are the ones out there in the culture. You know, Jesus didn't have a list. He was supposed to bring this new peaceful kingdom where we don't have lists. We don't have boundaries. Instead of having borders, we erase them. We all know who we are. We all know we're all children of God. We all know we want something deeper in this life. And we're willing to take a step out of our comfort zone that we've been taught and learn how to love people that are most unlike us. When you start to do that, when you start to read the Bible for truth and start to believe it, and start to get the eyes to see and the ears to hear, you will find this in many places in your life. It's all over. It's saving the world. It's happening in communities all across this globe in all different languages and all different religions and all different kinds of people, including Muslims and prisoners and criminals and gays and us. Really? No better than, no worse than. Just trying to find that place in the world today. So you read Isaiah and you have to make a decision about the Sunday of peace. Are you willing to shed the things you've been taught by this world about who not to trust, who not to like, who not to hang around with, who to avoid, and who to be afraid of? Are you willing to shed that? Put on the vest of Jesus and jump into that stream where you're going to find all kinds of different people finally finding the peace that they've looked for all their life. I hope that you'll consider that. I hope you'll think about just one little thing you can do this week to stretch yourself beyond your comfort zone. Maybe we'll do this. If you're a Democrat, find a Republican to send a fruitcake to. And if you're a Republican, find some fudge to send a Democrat to. Just get the thing started, because we don't have too much more time. Amen. Thank you.